Lovely. Well, good morning. As has been said, my name is Sarah. It's great to see you here at Stoke Site. Whether it's your first time, whether it's your 100th time, it's brilliant to have you, brilliant to see you. Here, I'm going to be continuing our Philippians series. So we're going to be reading from chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. So feel free to find that in your Bible or on your phone. Equally, it's going to come up behind me. So you can see it there. That's not a problem. I have titled this preach, What Would You Risk? And with a title like that, the air of challenge has already been set a little bit, hasn't it? And I hope this morning that it does challenge you. I hope that it gets you thinking. But more importantly, I want it to bring you hope and freedom in whatever situation you may find yourself in today. And when some of us can hear that term risk, it can make us feel a little bit uneasy. I am certainly one of those people. I like predictability, control, safety. I like to have a plan and I like to stick with it. However, there was one time in my life where I took a risk. And I only did this because I didn't quite realize the risk at the time that I was taking. So I went whitewater rafting, already a bit of a risky activity, you could say, when I was on holiday with my dad and sister. And it was part of this activity here. There was an opportunity to do a 30-foot cliff jump, which I heard and thought, sign me up. Yes, please. That sounds amazing. However, if you'd have asked me, why would I have wanted to do this? Which my sister did question my enthusiasm because she said, Sarah, you're scared of heights. Why do you want to do a 30-foot cliff jump? Because if you'd have asked me to do a 10-meter high diving jump in the swimming pool, I would have said no very quickly. I didn't quite realize that a 10-meter diving board jump and a 30-foot cliff jump was in fact the same height. So as I lined myself up to take this jump, the instructor gave me the okay, I ran and I jumped off this cliff. I enjoyed myself for about the first 2 seconds before my tummy did a flip, my scream was ripped from my throat, I couldn't breathe and I was plunged into freezing cold water. It is safe to say I will not be doing any more high water jumps in the future. And so this morning, we are going to unpack our passage and question, what would you risk? And for those who, like me, may be feeling a little bit uneasy about that word, maybe as I'm preaching, feel a little bit unsure or kind of start to feel a bit challenged, let's pray and invite the Prince of Peace in the room because he is good, he is for us, and he has good things for us. So let's pray. Yeah, Father, we just give you this time, Lord. We just thank you that you are good. As we've been singing about this morning, you are for us, you are with us, you have conquered the grave, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, that you want the best for us. That if we feel challenged at any point, I pray, Lord, that you bring that challenge in a peaceful, loving, kind way, Lord. We know that it is for our good and for the betterment of your kingdom. And so, Father, we give you permission. Be with us, Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. So let's read our passage this morning. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 11, it says this. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And when reading the Bible, I can often read verses and not let the truth sink in, particularly in the morning, maybe when I've just woken up and I'm a bit sleepy. I often skim over it, or I don't let the real truth of it go into my heart or into my mind. And so this morning I just felt for our passage that it was really right for us to just sit and pause and let some of Paul's, who is the writer of our passage this morning, let some of his words just sink in. And it comes straight away in verse 8 here. It says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. So we're going to look at what has Paul lost by becoming a Christian. because for Paul to become a Christian, he did lose all things and his life was changed upside down. Paul was a Pharisee, kind of a Jewish leader of the time, and before he became a Christian. So when he gave his life to Jesus, his life changed. We're going to look at three ways that this happened for him. So number one, status. Because Christians didn't always have the best status back then. In fact, some people would try and kill them for their beliefs, often Jewish leaders, ironically. Paul knew that by becoming a Christian, he would lose that position in society and drop down the social ladder. Previously, because of his status, people listened to him. They respected his viewpoints, they wanted his opinions on how to live, or his interpretation of scripture, which was the Old Testament. When he became a Christian, he had to give up that position, and people who used to respect him stopped looking up to him. He lost that status. Number two, admiration and connection. Because Paul had a lot of people around him as a Pharisee. He had a strong community of like-minded people that he could spend time with. He could confide in them and find protection with. And there was always someone there to share a meal with, go to the temple, or celebrate the next Jewish festival. When he became a Christian, he lost that way of life. His colleagues no longer wanted to be with him, share life with him, or listen to him. He lost connection with people, and a distance grew between him and his friends from his old life. Comfort. Paul lived a nice life. It was filled with many nice things and provided a comfortability to it. He had money and wealth, so likely lived in a nice house. He had enough food on the table and wore beautiful clothes. He was in a comfortable life and lived that you could look at and know it. But again, he lost this when he became a Christian. He gave up his comfort to travel around preaching about Jesus and starting new churches. He didn't have a stable home to go back to, and at times he might not have known where his next meal was coming from. This was made even more clear by the very context of our passage, as Paul is currently writing this from prison. His physical freedom and threat to life is a reality for him. He is experiencing a physical discomfort. And this is from the man who said, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things." Because he has actually lost all things, all because he wanted to know Jesus. But he looks at the things that he had, and they just don't compare to knowing Jesus. They don't even come close to it for him. He had it all, status, admiration, comfort, connection, and more, but he counts them as rubbish in order that he may gain Christ. And when we hear that, we can think, it's what it was like back then. That was the Bible. That was just Paul's life. We've become over familiar with those verses. But if we just pause and let that sink in and think, what had Paul lost? How would that make you feel if you had lost some of that? Because especially for us in the 21st century living in the UK, it is not illegal to become a Christian, and we often don't face direct persecution when we do become Christians. Some of us do, and I don't want to take from that, so you might find it easier to connect with the emotional nature of these verses. But it is important also to mention that these things in life are not bad things. Although Paul lost things by becoming a Christian, he also gained some of these things, just in different ways. He had a new church family to connect with, people who wanted to spend time with him, wanted to talk to him, wanted to connect, wanted to listen to his opinions. And they provided comfort to him at various points. We saw in a few verses previously when a friend came to visit him while he was in prison. These things in life are good things, and so you shouldn't feel bad if you do have them today. That's not my intention. But it's about holding them lightly and being willing to let them go should we need to. So the question for most of us today, what would you risk? To live for God truly and honestly, what are you willing to lose? And so just like Paul, we're going to look at those three things, but for us. status. When people find out you're a Christian, that can sometimes impact on your status. For some people in society, they have a set image of what a Christian looks like. They're boring, unintelligent, hypocrites, homophobic, Bible bashers. The list can go on. So when we declare ourselves as Christian, we risk all of those stereotypes being immediately placed on ourselves. We risk the status that we could have in people's eyes. And like Paul, we could lose people's respect or other people not listening to us. And we come across decision moments in life. Am I willing to risk my status for Jesus? And I came across one such moment when I was doing some training with work. And there was an icebreaker, which we all know and love, an icebreaker about what makes you happy. And we had to answer that question. And there was a decision moment for me in this room full of strangers. Do I risk what people would think of me, what status I might have in their eyes for my Lord and Savior, Jesus? And this time, because I don't always do it, sometimes I chicken out, the fear gets to me. But this time I went for it and I said, my faith makes me happy. Reading the Bible, praying, going to church makes me happy. And it led to some really good conversations in training. Are we willing to risk our status? Admiration and connection. Because we liked being accepted and loved, to be in community. But sometimes as a Christian, we can risk this. As Christians, the way we live our lives should be radically influenced by Jesus and his teachings. This can result in people around us maybe not liking us or liking the way that we live. Friends and family might grow distant from us as a result. We risk being rejected by those around us and losing the connection that we might feel with other people. And I remember talking to a wise friend about this once, and she felt God challenge her, say, does she love her friends enough to risk losing them? Because if she truly believes that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth, but if she doesn't talk to her friends about Jesus and share the difference that he's made in her life, does she truly care for them? Because when we do that, we want to love our friends in this way, but we risk their rejection of Jesus and potentially their rejection of us. Number three, comfort. We like being comfortable, don't we? I very much do. The physical comforts of British life are evident. Having a house to sleep in, water out the tap, benefits should we get ill and can't work, food in our shops, education, opportunities for our kids, the list goes on. And there can be difficulties in their life, in this life, especially with the cost of living going up. So if that is your struggle at the moment, I'm not going to take from that, from those difficulties that you are facing. But are we willing to risk our comfortability for the gospel? Are we willing to talk to those difficult people, to inconvenience ourselves for others, to give up our wants and follow what Jesus wants, for our plans not to go as planned? And I remember this happened for me while I was at university. My plan was to do 3 years at university, graduate, done. God had other ideas. And as part of my course, there was an option to do a year abroad, which I heard and went, nah, not for me, I'm good. Because when Christians talked about going to the nations, I would say, England is my nation. So it didn't even cross my mind to consider going abroad. But through various ways, God spoke to me, and I ended up living in Norway for a year. Completely wild, completely not my plan, but God used it to bless me, to bless others, and to bless the church. It was a good year, but it was hard and it was uncomfortable. I risked my comfort to see what God would do, and he moved mightily. And it doesn't just have to be another country that our comfort is risked. It very much could be, I'm not saying that. But how in our everyday life can we risk our comfort to live honestly and truly for God? Because as Christians, we want to live for God. And this goes against the grain of the world. Because the world might tell you not to take that risk, not to stir things up. Why can't you just be normal? I get that one a lot. But as Christians, we turn our back on the way that we were living and the way of this world and take a risk with God. But the good news this morning is that when we take risks with God, we can have confidence that things will go well. We may not know exactly how that risk is going to pan out, but God is good and he is for us. He is in control and working for our good. So we are not jumping off a 30-foot cliff, not knowing quite what to expect. We know we can jump with faith, knowing that God has got our back. If God asks us to take a risk, to consider things of this world rubbish, we can be sure that it will bring good things for us and his kingdom. Amen. We are not jumping with blind faith, because we know that Jesus is worth it. Paul gives up his old way of life because he counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Verse 8. We have the joy of knowing Jesus and all the blessings that come with that. When we compare it to everything else in the world, Jesus is so much better. This world is hard, and we know there are good things, but if you seek your purpose and fulfillment in this world, you will be left empty. Jesus is the true source of life. He will fill you with peace and strength and joy. He is your shield of protection. He is a strong tower to run to. He is faithful. He is a safe place. So when we go through hard times or when we take risks, we know that we will be safe, found in him. As Christians, we know that this is a free gift given by God. We haven't earned it by our actions. We haven't earned it by how good our life looks or how full it is. We don't deserve it. But if we declare that Jesus is Lord, we are saved by faith. Paul says this in our passage. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. When we become Christians, we gain Christ and can be found in him. But this isn't anything to do with us. We don't earn salvation through our works, but by our faith in Jesus. We get a righteousness, a perfection, a newness that is dependent on our faith in Jesus and not dependent on ourselves or anything else in this world. We are made right with God, so we don't have to feel shame or guilt. There is new life, and you can have confidence that all is well with my soul. We are not only with Jesus in this life, but more than that, we are found in Jesus, as our passage said. And it's a little bit similar. Like when I got married to my husband, Toby, I left my surname and I took on his. I became a Smith. So I renounced my old name and I declared myself a Smith. So you will now find me in the Smith family. And it's a lovely family too. Now as Christians, we do a similar thing. We renounce everything. We give it up and we declare ourselves followers of Jesus. So we can now be found in Jesus. And this all sounds amazing, right? But when you become a Christian, it is not a promise that life becomes hunky-dory. Let's remember that Paul is currently writing this while he's in prison, and he reminds us of this struggle in verses 10 and 11. That I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Because we will suffer jointly as Christ did. Because it wasn't only Paul who lost status and admiration, connection and comfort. Jesus did too. And if we join with Jesus in this way, turning from our old way of life, risking all that this life has to offer and becoming like him in death, we surrender all of that to God. Jesus surrendered his life on the cross, and we follow in his example, giving it all to God. But we then join with Jesus again as he rose from the grave. We are joined with him in resurrection and get brand new life, which is on offer today. We don't have to wait for it. And that's the symbolism of baptism, and the exciting thing that Jamie's going to do later is that we go down in the grave, but we are raised in new life here and now. we can turn away from our old life. We can risk the good things of this world, knowing that we are ultimately found in Jesus. No matter how hard this life gets, what suffering we may endure, we can have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ today. And Jesus himself encourages us to find true value in him. Jesus shared a story in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46, which I'm going to read. And it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Because the merchant was looking for fine pearls, he wasn't looking for one particular pearl, he was seeking. And he came across this one pearl of great value, and he sold everything he had just so that he could own it. Because when you meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you come face to face with Jesus, you can't help but to give it all away, to surrender all for the sake of knowing Jesus. You consider everything a loss because of this surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus." And this is the challenge for us, is to not get distracted by other pearls out there, by other things. Because there are a lot of good things in this world, and they can make you happy for a while, but let's not forget the true worth of knowing Jesus. He is so much better than anything this world can offer. Paul has experienced both the fullest of a life on this earth and the emptiest. But nothing compares to knowing Jesus, his own words. So whatever your situation is today, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how full your life is, how empty your life is, know that walking with Jesus is worth it. And there's an invitation to let go of the things of this world and hold fast to him, to risk the good things of this world for better life in him. And that is where we're going to respond this morning. So if I can invite you to your feet. And I'm just going to pray for us. And I felt God prompt us this morning. Maybe as I've been speaking, there's been things coming to mind where you felt, oh, I couldn't let that go. I'm holding that too tightly, maybe. And just felt God ask us, what is getting in the way of getting closer to God? Just take a few moments and ask him, Lord, what could I remove to gain closer to you? And if you don't know him yet, ask himself, Jesus, reveal it. Reveal yourself. Come and speak to someone you've come with or myself at the end. Because he is worth it. He is faithful and he is good. So yeah, Father, we pray right now and thank you that we can take risks with you and know that you've got us, Lord. That there are people who are risking comfortability, status, admiration, connection in this room, Lord. We know that we can be fully found in you. Lord Jesus, you are better and greater than anything in this world. And Father, right now we give up the pearls of this world for the pearl that is you. We thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for your death on that cross, your surrendering. And we thank you that we are raised in new life with you today. We love you. We trust you. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.